From Spark and Anvil and Curiosity Quest. This is Notice, in Chapter 1 of the Curiosity Quest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. Notice moved through the academy halls like a whisper of gray light. She was small, softly feathered, with feathers the color of river stones and winter clouds. A small wooden field notebook hung from her belt, and a soft charcoal pencil perched behind her ear, ready but waiting. She never seemed to rush. Her posture was always one of gentle attention, her head tilted slightly to one side, her eyes fixed on whatever had caught her interest. The pencil stayed put. It only moved after she had truly looked for a while. This was her fundamental rule. The looking was the work. The writing was just the record, a way to capture what she'd already seen. She walked slowly, stopping often. When she entered a room, she paused near the threshold. This wasn't hesitation. It was a practice. What was actually in this room, right now, in front of her? She didn't wonder what it was for, or why it was here, or what it should be. She simply observed what was. This pause, this moment of pure looking, was her most important discipline. This was the core of Notice's teaching. She embodied the skill of observation, seeing what's truly there before you name it. This skill comes before all others. Before you can ask a question, you must first notice something. Before you can make a guess, you have to notice it. You can't theorize, hypothesize, debate, or doubt until you've noticed. Many early mistakes in thinking happen when someone names a thing too quickly. They might say, "Oh, it's just a leaf," before they've truly looked long enough to see what makes that specific leaf interesting. Notice always made one thing clear. Slow looking wasn't a gift you were born with. "Slow looking is a skill," she'd say, her voice calm and steady. "It can be practiced. You get better the more you do it. You are not born noticing. You become a noticer by practicing the pause." This was important to her. Many people thought that only gifted kids could be good observers. The artist who saw what others missed. The scientist who spotted the tiny anomaly. But Notice taught that noticing was a practiced posture. It was the act of looking longer than felt comfortable before you put a name to what you saw. In the village where Notice grew up, her family held a special role. They were the morning watchers. Each dawn, before the bakers even lit their ovens or the millers opened their doors, a dove from her family would walk the quiet streets. Their job was to notice what had changed overnight. This work demanded unhurried looking. A morning watcher who rushed through the village noticed nothing important, but one who walked slowly saw everything. They might spot the cat sleeping on a new windowsill, a broken slate on the church roof, an unfamiliar wagon in the inn yard, or a new wildflower beside the well. By age 6, Notice had learned that most wonder lived in the noticing itself. Long before you named what you saw, the act of seeing was the real gift. When she was 22, Notice walked to the Curiosity Quest Academy. Lumen, the academy's founder, had a direct way of asking questions. "What do you see as the heart of observation?" Lumen asked. Notice had answered, "It is slow looking before naming. Most wonder lives in the noticing. The skill is practicing the pause, looking longer than feels comfortable, seeing what's truly there before any label takes hold. The pencil moves only after the looking is complete." Lumen had nodded. "You are appointed," she said. In her classroom, Notice began every first day lesson the same way. She would hold up a simul object, sometimes a stone, sometimes a leaf, a feather, a small cup, or a clay tile. "I am Notice," she would begin, her voice soft but clear. "The inquiry skill I teach is observation. Today's object is this. Object name. Before we say anything about it, we are going to look at it. for 1 full minute. No talking, no naming, just looking. Then we will write down what we noticed.
The students usually fidgeted for the first 15 seconds. Some glanced at each other, wondering if this was a trick. Then, slowly, they settled. Their eyes began to truly focus on the object. By the time the minute was up, they had often seen things they completely missed in the first few seconds. Notice would tap her pencil gently on her notebook. "That," she would say, a small smile touching her beak, "is the practice. You just did it. Now, let's write down what we noticed." She taught them simple steps for this slow looking, what she called the observation scaffolds. "Look for 1 minute before writing." She explained that slow looking takes about a minute to truly begin. The first 15 seconds were often impatience, the next 30 were settling, and the last 15 were when real noticing happened. Describe what you see before why. "I see a green leaf with red veins," she demonstrate. Not, "it's a maple leaf that fell in autumn." Names and causes come after seeing. Notice the small. Color shifts, tiny edges, textures, small irregularities, asymmetries. The thing a student almost missed was often the most interesting thing to notice. Notice what's not there. Absences, missing pieces, things that should be present but weren't. She taught them that negative observations were still observations. Notice your own first naming. When you find yourself wanting to call the thing a leaf, she'd advise, pause. Ask yourself, "What did I see that made me say leaf?" The seeing always came before the saying. The pencil moves after the looking. This was a strict discipline, always. "I sometimes name too fast myself," she would admit. "That's not a failure. That's just how I notice that I name too fast. The skill is catching that rush and slowing back down."
When students ask Notice if slow looking was hard, she always gave the same answer. "It is not hard," she'd say. "It is practiced pausing. Look first, name later. Most wonder lives in the noticing." She would tilt her head, her eyes still observing. The pencil remained behind her ear, waiting.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Notice. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.